Mark Becker, Dad Schaefer here. Welcome back to the Rational Revolution.
You're trying out some radio voice? Yeah, we're back.
Yeah, that's right. What did I got a buddy that does that. He's like, he says, not like that, but he says, what is that, like diarrhea of the mouth or whatever. That's what he calls it. So that's cool. There you go. We got Dan Schaefer here in the Rational Revolution. We're talking about the race for governor because this is, it's big. I love my buddy Mandela. He's a great guy. The end of his video was a little weird, you know, kind of awkward handshakes.
The campaign launch.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
But I mean, but that was a big, announcement.
Oh yeah. He's probably the highest profile candidate who's announced just yet. Right. I mean, you know, if you run a statewide race, you have a little bit more notoriety.
Right.
Than a lot of the other folks in this. But I also don't think he walks into this as the immediate front runner either. Do you?
I don't know. I mean, I think what he's done, you know, his Senate race, he raised an astronomical amount of money. And it's weird to me where people are like, oh, he couldn't beat Ron Johnson. It's like, I don't hold that against him because Ron Johnson's like Scott Walker, which is Wisconsin's weird with those kind of people.
Yeah. I mean, for as much as I, you know, don't like what Ron Johnson is as a senator. I don't think he's good at governing. I don't think he's good at his job.
No, he's
not. Managed to be very good as a campaigner. And his electoral success, you know, you win three statewide races in a row in Wisconsin.
I hate it.
It's not a fluke at that point, right? It's not an accident. I think he has somehow managed to, you know, kind of thread the needle between the Tea Party era that he ran on initially as just kind of like business guy in 2010 to the MAGA conspiracy Trump world. Now, I think he's been a candidate who's really bridged those two universes of the Republican Party in a lot of ways. And so, you know, it's tough to defeat a two-term incumbent, right? I think, you know, one of my friends in the nerd world and politics nerd world will say incumbency gives you about a 2% advantage in a statewide race, which, you know, you see that in the 22 results, right? Tony Evers won by about 3.5% and Ron Johnson won by about 1%. Well, that's pretty close to a 4% gap there for the incumbents, right? So, and so I wrote a piece about Mandela Barnes and his potential candidacy about a month ago when it was seeming like he was going to run. Really by revisiting his 2022 campaign.
Yeah.
And so I wrote about how his campaign was both overrated and underrated at the same time.
Yep.
Because I think it was underrated in the sense just like, oh, everybody's just like, yeah, well, he lost to Ron Johnson. Well, he came extraordinarily close to beating Ron Johnson in what was projecting to be a Republican advantage midterm year when you had an unpopular Democratic president in the White House. And, you know, you have an incumbent, you have somebody who's extraordinarily well-funded. And then, you know, it was the closest Senate race in 100 years to that point.
Right.
And so, but I think also there were problems with the actual campaign that Barnes was running.
Yep.
He ran that ad, and I teed off on this ad and that, column where he's unpacking the groceries, talking about like, oh, they say I want to defund the police. They say I want to abolish ICE. Those are lies. Like, why are you out there telling people what your opponent says about you? I think that was one of the worst ads in recent political memory. I honestly think it's possible he would have won that race with a different ad. Like that was, that ad was so uniquely bad. I absolutely hated it. I wish I would have said more about it in real time because it was just like, I didn't realize it was going to be like an ad that they would run constantly. Like I would watch something and it would be in every commercial break like three times.
I texted him. I sent him, I have a video. I have a video of Ron Johnson at the debate against Russ Feingold saying, I'm never going to vote with your reelection in mind because I'm never running for reelection again.
Yeah.
And I sent it to him and I'm like, here you go, bud, use it. And he didn't.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
Yeah, and I think the campaign that he ran generally was a little bit too safe.
Yeah.
And I think it was just too generic. I think it was like there were so many specific things you could go after with the uniquely problematic person that Ron Johnson is. And I think they ran that race like it was Mandela Barnes against generic Republican senator, not Republican Senator Ron Johnson. So my thesis, I guess, in that column was that if he runs it back, if Mandela Barnes runs it back exactly like he did in 2022, that's not what I want to see. Then that's going to be a problem. Then he's going to lose. It has to be something different. So, you know, just a few days in here, obviously, are you, what are you seeing about the launch of the campaign? Does it feel different to you compared to 2022?
No.
Yep.
I hate that. I hate that. And I love, and Mandel's a friend. I like him a lot.
I
want him to be the front runner. And I think he is. But like, dude, we had Sarah Rodriguez in here. She's freaking impressive. And she's the lieutenant governor. And Francesca Hong came. She sat right there. And she knocked my socks off. Like, holy crap.
That was a great episode. I enjoyed that one.
Thank you. That was fun.
Yeah.
Check that out. Civicmedia.us. But like,
podcast available now.
Yeah. But I mean, I do think Mandela is set up very well to win in a general election.
I think any Democrat who wins is pretty well set up to win in a general election in Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, I suppose with freaking
Tiffany is going to be the candidate.
LOL.
Like, I don't know. I think there's still like some people wondering if Hovde or Michaels would get in late in the game and just self-fund if they're not sold on Tiffany.
I would love to see Eric Hovde go 0-3.
That would be funny. I think the fact that Brian Steil is not running statewide is really good news for Democrats because I think he would be the best candidate the Republicans could put forth for that office for a statewide race.
The DCCC is trying to get him. It's a candidate for him. Dude, they asked me to run. And in the first.
What, you moved to Kenosha?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because they're, I'm not kidding. I don't think I've ever said that. I shouldn't have said that. But
like, we can always edit around that. Yeah, right.
No, but like, they need a candidate there. And so, like, if they're Brian Steil, I would imagine that he's being from the Republican side. No, dude, you got to stay here because district's on a knife's edge.
Yeah. Yeah. But they, you know, Steil has outperformed the numbers in that district too. But
yes.
So to just stick with we're going on tangents now. To just stick with the governor's race. So I annoyed everyone with one of my Twitter polls this week on that. And so I when Barnes announced, I said, so I'll just read what I put in the tweet here. With the 2026 governor's race in the news, let's try out another unscientific, totally nonsense Twitter poll. So I said, in the Democratic primary, who would be your choice for governor? And my options that I listed were Mandela Barnes, David Crowley, Sarah Rodriguez, and other. The overwhelming response that I got, at least in the comments on that, was that I should have had Francesca Hong in the poll.
Yes.
Everybody wanted me to have Francesca Hong in the poll. And I do think, you know, she has a lot of online enthusiasm for her race
right now.
And that cannot be denied. I also think it is a huge jump from going from being a state representative in one of the bluest districts in the state to running a statewide race.
Yes.
And so let's see where her fundraising's at after the deadline. Let's see where things are at. But I also think it's time to maybe start thinking for candidacy a little bit differently than just being, because I wrote this piece after Evers, said he wasn't running again. Like my too early preview, and I characterized Francesca Hong as the wild card
in
the race, which I think she has embraced. She has talked about that as well. But I think we're now at the point where it's going from wild card to a little bit more of a serious curiosity about what exactly her campaign is going to be, because I think she could have run a race saying, hey, I'm the progressive. This is our chance to get a progressive in the race. But what she has been doing instead, and I think that's been really smart, is she has focused on a lot of kitchen table issues.
Yep.
She's focused on things like paid leave and childcare and healthcare and healthy school meals and things like that. Like, it has not been, I'm the progressive, vote for me. It has been, these are the issues that matter to Wisconsinites. And I think that's been a really smart approach.
And one thing that's been interesting too is that people, and maybe, you know, from the show that she was here, but people that have met with her and have heard her talk outside of the ads, they've come up to me and were like, wow, like she's impressive.
She's a real one.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, she's been, I've been friends with her for a while. She has written a couple guest columns, the Recombobulation Area, over the years.
She's a badass, man. Like, she is.
Yeah. And so I'm starting to think of her candidacy a little bit differently, but at the same time, I think, again, it's a little bit different from somebody who was a lieutenant governor.
Yes.
And a candidate for Senate. Yeah. Or like in David Crowley's case, somebody who's been elected twice to the state's most populous county. Right.
What? So, I don't know anything about him.
Yeah. I think that's part of the challenge now is he is the one guy in the race with true executive experience.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that, you know, Milwaukee County was dealing with a lot of the flood damage and then Donald Trump not helping out with that.
That's nice.
To the extent that a lot of the Milwaukee County folks had been, you know, needing, applying for and whatever else. And, you know, they just passed the budget in Milwaukee County. Like, maybe his campaign starts to ramp up a little bit more because I think they've got to do a little bit more work to you know, reach folks like yourself who are not familiar with him, who are not in the southeastern Wisconsin market. And so just to get back to my goofy poll, too. Yeah. So the poll results on that were Mandela Barnes, 15%, David Crowley, 21%, Sarah Rodriguez, 24%, and other 40%.
Wow.
And so not just Francesca Hong that people were talking about.
How many voted?
State Senator Calder Royes is a factor there, factor in this race. I think former WEDC Secretary Missy Hughes is going to be a factor in this race as well. And so, you know, Twitter only gives you four options. So that's the way I did it. And everybody was mad at me for the way I did it. But, you know, maybe I'll see if we can do like a civic media official poll
at some
point down the line.
So
I think it's, you know, yeah.
If you are a Missy Hughes or if you are, I think Francesca Hong, we can see how she's trying to differentiate herself. But like, if you are a Missy Hughes or Calder Royes, how do you break into that top tier of Mandela Barnes, Rodriguez, and David Crowley? We got like a minute left.
Well, I think it's going to really start more next year.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be seeing some of these campaigns ramp up a little bit more next year. And we'll see where things are at with the fundraising too. You know,
when does that come out?
I always forget what these deadlines are and all that. Yeah. But, you know, I think there's going to be debates, there's going to be conversations, there's going to be campaigning, there's going to be social media. Like, there's just going to be so much that we're going to be, you know, following and tracking and trying to. I think there would be kind of these like micro primaries within it too, right? Who's winning over this lane? Who's winning, you know, who's emerging as like a Madison area candidate? Who's going to get Milwaukee area votes? Like, who's going to have, you know, speak to, you know, folks like yourself in Green Bay or the Fox Valley or whatever it might be? I think there will be those conversations ahead too.
Right. Yeah, I agree. So right now you think that the front runners, Barnes, Crowley, and
I think there's kind of a top tier. Yeah, I think Barnes, Crowley, Rodriguez with wild card Francesca Hong knocking on the door.
Wild card, she'll love that. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah she's cool. I think that the future is bright, and we're going to have to keep these conversations going, Dan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we got, thank you very much, Dan Schaefer, founder of the Recombobulation Area. Check him out at the website. We'll link everything and all his socials, and you should follow him because it is absolutely brilliant. And we'll see you back right after this on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Mark Becker.
We don't get fooled.